Praise God. Praise God. This morning, I just want to read one verse to start. If you find your seat, we're gonna start in Philippians 1. Praise God. There's something special when people are gathered together to worship God. Like, you can worship God in your car and in your home, and that's a good thing, and I think that's expected and required. That's what God loves, that. But there's something when we're together worshiping God that's special. I think back to Genesis, and God created man, and he could have just had that one relationship, just me and Adam walking around the garden. This is it. He's like, you know, I think it'd be better if there was more than one of them. I think they're going to have more fun. There's going to be more connection. It's going to be more awesome. It's awesome to be in church. Praise God. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can be seated this morning. This year, we try to put a theme together for a year. Like, what is a theme? What is God speaking to us as a church and to a community, as individuals? And this year, I really felt impressed that our theme for 2025 should be a good work. Take it from this verse that says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. We focused on that God has started a good work, a work in you. It's already started. So you might think, I don't know where I'm at. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm whatever, too far gone. God's already started it. And it's a good work. We learn that from this verse. And we learn that he will complete it. This is a great verse. But we have to submit to him working. We have to submit to the work that he wants to do in our lives. He's a gentleman, people would say. He's not going to say, Peter, I'm going to make you do this. But if I say, God, I will submit to the work you want to do because I know you've already started. I know I'm not too far gone. I know it's a good work. And I know you're going to complete it. I'm going to submit. This morning, I want to talk through another example of what it looks like to submit to the good work God is doing in your life. How many people have ever heard of Rube Goldberg? Rube Goldberg, R-U-B-E, Goldberg. He lived from 1883 to 1970. He was an American cartoonist, engineer, and inventor whose name has become synonymous with overly complex machines designed to perform simple tasks. He was born in San Francisco on the 4th of July, and Goldberg studied engineering at the University of California, Berkeley. It's a pretty good engineering school. Before pursuing his real passion for drawing. And I thought I took a left turn from engineering to pastoring. He went from engineering to cartooning. Very, very interesting. His career as a cartoonist quickly took off, and by the early 20th century, his work was nationally syndicated, making him one of the most recognizable humorists of his time. This is not the age in the early 1900s when you have YouTube and Facebook and TikTok and you can become popular very quickly. But he became nationally syndicated, nationally popular. Goldberg's trademark cartoons, known as the Rube Goldberg machines, were elaborate chain reaction contraptions. Well, here, let's put one up. We got one on the screen. Let's put up one of his contraptions so we'll explain it. They were elaborate chain reaction contraptions involving pulleys and levers and animals and household objects all working together to accomplish something trivial like mailing a letter or wiping your mouth. These humorous inventions weren't about practicality, but about satire. They poked fun at society's obsession with technology, efficiency, and labor-saving devices that often created more work than they solved. His wit, his imagination, and his playful social critique left a lasting cultural mark, and his name lives on as shorthand for unnecessary complexity. His name lives on as shorthand for unnecessary complexity. So this is an example of one of his cartoons. That's not the title of his cartoon. That's the title of the message this morning. The work in walking. The work God does in our life while we're walking. Let's have some fun with this cartoon. If you were to find this cartoon, this is what it says. You see, maybe some of you, the letters are small, but A, B, C, D, E, F, right? So this title of this cartoon he wrote is Simple Idea to Keep You from Forgetting to Mail Your Wife's Letter. As you walk past the cobbler shop, that's a shoe shop, hook, letter A, you see the hook there, right? The hook strikes the suspended boot, which is B, causing it to kick the football, which is C, through the goalpost, which is D. The football drops into the basket, which is E, and the string F. Is everybody paying? Does this keep? Are we keeping along here? The football goes through the goalpost, drops in the basket, which pulls the string F, which tilts the sprinkling can, causing water to soak the coattails, which is H. As the coattails shrink, because it happens really quickly, right? As the coattails shrink, the cord pulls and opens the door, J, of the cage, allowing the bird, K, to walk out onto the perch, L, and grab a worm, M, which is attached to string, N, and this pulls down the window shade, O, on which it is written, "You sap, mail that letter." It's a fun comic, right? This is what he was known for. Unnecessary complexity. Rube Goldberg found a way to make something simple to actually be quite involved. There are a lot of steps to mail this letter, or to not to forget to mail this letter. It's a unique comic, but he makes things more complex than they need to be. And when I saw these comics and I got enthralled and started to look at some of his comics, I began to think of a verse in the Bible. I started to think about how sometimes I believe that I make my relationship with God more complex than it needs to be. I think there needs to be this mountain of things I have to do. I think there needs to be these giant expectations and this great, great works. And yet I find in the Bible that we're called to walk with him. And I really struggled with this. And so as I watch this comic, I read this verse in Micah 6, and this is what it reminds me of. In Micah 6, the prophet is talking to the people of Israel, and they're trying to do all these things to have a relationship with God, to get God's attention. And this is what he says. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves that are a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression? Shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's saying, what are all these things? What is the God requiring of me? Is it 1,000 rams? Is it 1,000 rivers of oil? Do I got to give my firstborn? What is this big complex thing I need to do? And the answer is in verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." To walk humbly with your God. I read this verse and it feels like that comic. There's this big thing to not forget to mail a letter. And sometimes we make this thing with this thing of knowing God into this big and complex contraption. And it's all up in here. We do it. And maybe society has helped us. Yeah, and maybe religion has helped us. But for me, it's not about religion. It's not about this group of people that meet together and are hopefully encouraging each other and walking towards God together. It's about me pursuing God and knowing God more. Because that was what his intention was. We read in this verse that God is looking for us in Micah 6:8 to walk with him. He is looking for a lifestyle. The word walk in this verse is talking about a lifestyle, not like, hey, walk from point A to point B. He's looking for a lifestyle of justice and mercy and humility. There's a contrast in this verse. You can see it between religion and an inward obedience. You could do all the right things, but not be obeying him in your heart, not be walking with him. God is looking for an obedience in the heart. He's looking for a heart that's pointed towards him. God's desire is not a complicated checklist of rules and endless regulations. That's not his desire. It's not about exhausting yourself with constant effort and sacrifices and performance. It's not about pomp and ritual and carefully staged ceremonies that look impressive on the outside. God isn't asking for showmanship or religious theater to prove devotion. God's requirement is much simpler than that. It is to walk with him. It is a life that reflects genuine relationship with him. And it is in walking with him that he does the good work in us. It is in walking with God that the work in our lives happens. I think too often we get it backwards and we think, what's the works I need to do? What is the work that I need to figure out? What podcasts and books and things I need to figure out so I can change who I am? And God's like, hold on, just walk with me. The rest will take care of itself. I think that's hard for us because putting our lives and control into somebody else's hands and just kind of walking with somebody around feels a little bit uncomfortable. It's easier when I have control of the steering wheel. We're all excited about these cars that are going to drive themselves, and I don't want to sound like the old person here, and I really want to try one, but it's also going to be a little nerve-wracking, isn't it? It's nerve-wracking. The simple expectation of walking is not unique to this verse. There are many examples throughout the whole Bible where we see the idea, the simple expectation of walking. And so this morning, I want to review some of these verses to better understand what walking with God looks like. What does it mean? And then I want to talk about, and I want to look through the Bible and look at how what the work is that happens in our lives when we are walking with him. We're going to start in Genesis 5. Genesis 5:22 says this. And after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was not. This is a man. They're describing this genealogy, all these people and the things they did, and they get to Noah. They're talking about Enoch, and the only thing we know about Enoch is that he walked with God. And God's like, in Hebrews, we know a little bit more. It says he pleased God, meaning there was this relationship. God's like, this dude's cool. We have such a good relationship. You know, he's not even going to see death. I'm just going to take him up to be with me now. In Hebrew, the verb walked means to walk habitually. It doesn't mean that I walked from A to B. It doesn't mean that I took steps. The word walked in Hebrew, the way that the Hebrew people reading this verse would have read it, is that he had a lifestyle of being in continual fellowship or relationship with God. The implication is that this isn't physical walking. It's not steps. It's a metaphor of ongoing relationship, lifestyle, and close communion. It suggests repeated or sustained action, something that is ongoing. Does that make sense? It's not stepping. If I said, hey, define walking, you'd be like stepping in a direction for a purpose, right? This word walk in the Hebrew is this continual, repeated, sustained action, this ongoing relationship or lifestyle. And so the first lesson we learn about what walking is walking is ongoing and it's continual. It's a lifestyle. We read in Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, period. Noah walked with God, period. Same idea, same word, walked. Not a single walk. He didn't go from his home to the ark and get in, and then from his ark to the sacrifice. It was a habitual lifestyle of close fellowship, of obedience, and communion with God. Genesis 17, 1 through 9. Sister Jessica taught about Abram this morning. Abram and Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament. This is a similar verse here in Genesis 17. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God. Do these 20 steps. No, he said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. God is describing that if you will walk with me, you and I will have an agreement and your life will be changed. If you will have a continual relationship with me, I will multiply you. In verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish a covenant, my covenant between me and you and your descendants, after you and your generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. God is describing to Abraham, he said in verse 1, I am Almighty God, walk before me. And then he goes on to explain what walking looks like. The same idea, the same meaning with Enoch, the same meaning we see with Noah, this habitual walk to conduct oneself, to live continually in relationship with God in this verse. It's an ongoing relationship or lifestyle or close communion. But in this case, God says, walk before me. He says, walk in my presence. We see that walking in this case does include obedience and accountability. Walking with God, when we say, what does walking with God looks like? Well, he says before me, that's in my presence. And he said, if you will do your part, I will do my part. And believe me, you just keep walking, there's going to be blessings and multiplications and land and descendants. Walking includes obedience and accountability. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4, we're talking about King David and his son Solomon, and David's about to turn the throne over to his son Solomon, and David was the greatest king and the greatest man, and he's a man after God's own heart, and he has to distill all of his lessons down to his son Solomon, and this is what he says. Well, we'll get to what he says. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to what? Walk in his ways. To keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do wherever you turn. That the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. He's distilling everything he learned, and he goes to Psalm. He said, hey, this is what it boils down to. Walk with God. Obey what God is telling you. It's going to be a weird journey. There's going to be awkward moments. Just walk with God. And if you do, there will be blessings. Solomon, I've seen blessings in my life. I've seen when I was at my worst, when I had a man killed, when I committed adultery. I've seen when things were really bad, but I've seen where I've killed giants and I've killed bears. And when God has been active in my life and blessed my kingdom. And so I'm just going to keep walking with him. We see in this verse that walking is a matter of the heart. How we walk is as important as walking in and of itself. How we walk, the heart that we have, he says, follow, walk with me with your heart and with all your heart and with all your soul. There's not a half walk. That's what happens when I'm walking with one of my kids and they turn because they see a candy store. They're like, there's no half walks with God. It's a yes, God, I'm in this and I'm walking with you. And yes, I see a candy store, but I'm still walking with you. And yes, this looks dangerous, but I'm still walking with you. And yes, Sister Jessica, I can only see the exit sign, but I'm still walking with you. It's a heart. Walking is a matter of the heart. How we walk is as important as walking. And then in 1 Kings 3:14, David continues, or Solomon says, so if you will walk in my ways, this is God talking to Solomon, sorry. He's reiterating. It's funny, David distills everything down and then God goes and talks to Solomon. And what does he say? So if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. We see that walking with God is about obedience, is about staying with him. That's why early on he said to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. Walking with God is about obedience. James 2:23. This is in the New Testament, the second part of the Bible. But he's talking about Abraham. He's essentially, James is writing a letter and he's using the story of Abraham as an example. And he says in verse 21, was not Abraham, we're going to start at 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?
And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The word friend here, it means this beloved, dear one, a trusted companion. A trusted companion, someone you journey with. This isn't a casual friendship. This is a deep and loyal covenantal bond. It's two people. When it says Abraham was called a friend of God, what it's saying is Abraham walked with God. This was somebody that was close with God, that spent their time building their relationship with God, that walked in the good times and walked in the bad times and walked in the awkward times and walked in the weird times, and he just kept walking. And it's in that walk that he became such good friends. It's really very much like friendships you have or your marriage. It's hopefully growing and you're getting better because there's tough moments and you do it together. And because of that, you're closer. There's great moments and you do it together, and because of that, you're closer. You have friends maybe. Maybe this isn't a marriage. You have friends and you're like, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable today with them. And they didn't slap you up the face and call you a loser, and you feel like you're a little bit closer to them because of it. And over the years, you start to have this solid and deep relationship. I know the Old Testament, the Bible used covenantal. Maybe it's not covenantal now, but there's this unwritten agreement with this person that you're walking with that, hey, we're not going to hurt each other. And we're maybe even going to help each other. And we're going to encourage each other. And that's what this is talking about in this verse. Abraham was called a friend of God. Walking with God develops or builds relationships. That's what it is. Walking with God is about building a relationship. It's not having a relationship or always starting with a relationship. It's the idea is walking is building one. And that changes our mindsets when we're like, hold on, wait, you're telling me I can come to church for the first time and just start a relationship with God? Yep, 100%. Wait, you're telling me that I've tried to have a relationship with God, but then I've made my own choices and I can just pick it back up and grab his hand and start walking? 100%. Wait, you're telling me I've sort of faked the whole God thing and I've kind of been like this everywhere and I can put my whole heart into it finally and prioritize God? Yes, 100%. This is so much simpler. It's so much easier than we make it. We make it this big convoluted contraption of all these things, and because of that we're turned off and we say, I don't want to be a part of that. That's too difficult. I don't know how I'll ever do that. And God's like, just walk with me. You know, oh man, what I have required of you to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The last thing we see about walking in the Bible is in Matthew. And this is an example. We'll go through it here. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, 4 verse 18. Matthew 4 verse 18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. We see what walking with God looks like, because follow me in this context says, now Jesus was a rabbi, he was a teacher of that time, and he was calling them to follow him and his teachings. And what that meant is, hey, walk behind me in discipleship. Walk with me in discipleship. Do what I do. And then we read in the Gospels where literally all the disciples do is walk around with Jesus. They walk in Galilee. They walk in Jerusalem. They walk on the Emmaus Road. They walk to Samaria. And they walk in between all these places. They followed him. They walked beside him. They had daily fellowship with him for 3 years. They got to know Jesus. And I would imagine they became friends. I imagine, whether you watch The Chosen or not, I imagine when you put 12 disciples and Jesus together, and it said he had more followers than that, that there were times where there was conflict. I can imagine that there were times when there was doubt. I can imagine that there was times when everybody didn't get along, and where maybe they didn't have food for the night, or maybe they had too much food for the night. I can imagine there were parties like weddings with extra wine. I can imagine there were times when they didn't have anything. And in all that, they were building friendship. They were building relationship. God didn't call them to some big thing on day one. He said, just walk with me. Be a part of what I'm doing. Follow along with me. There's an author and a speaker named John Mark Comer. He's a Christian. And he describes that a disciple in that day was one who apprenticed under a rabbi or a teacher. The goal of the disciple was to be with their rabbi, to become like their rabbi, and to do what their rabbi did. So the disciples, by Jesus saying, follow me and be my disciples, they knew their goal. They knew what it was like at that time. They knew what it meant to follow a teacher. They knew their goal was to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do as he did. I like that be and do are present, and become is kind of something that will happen. Be with Jesus, do what he did, and become like him. It wasn't just about big expectations and supreme intellect. Comer often contrasts modern Christian practices that overemphasize information, performance, or doing with the ancient form of discipleship, where living, breathing, cohabitation with the rabbi mattered the most. Let me say that again. He contrasts how the modern Christian practices, they overemphasize information, performance, or doing. We contrast that with the ancient form of discipleship, which is being with God, walking with God. And so we think back to Ephesians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has started a good work in you. It's a good work. He will complete it. And we have to submit to him working. But can I submit for you this morning that walking with him is how we submit to him. Walking with him is how we to submit to the work he's going to do in our lives. It is in walking with him on a daily basis that we then will have our work done in our lives. So what is the work? I kind of described walking with God. We see it in the Bible. Walking with God is ongoing and continual. It includes obedience and accountability. It's a matter of the heart. It develops. The goal of walking is that it will develop and build relationship. That's part of it. It's not having one to start. So we see that walking from Jesus and the disciples, we find this relationship in walking. So what is the work that happens in walking with God? What is the work we see in the Bible that if we are walking with him, what is the work that will happen in our lives? Let's look at some examples in Scripture. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We see that walking with Jesus, walking with God, brings us out of the darkness of our lives, our choices, and out of this world. Walking with him helps us to avoid the pitfalls of this present age. What Jesus is saying is, if you will walk with me, I will make sure you don't fall into these same pitfalls that other people are falling into. I will keep you from the darkness that your choices will take you to. Walking with him brings us out of the darkness of our lives. Maybe you're walking through the darkness and things feel dark and things feel desperate. And you're just like, hold on, I'm going to grab Jesus' hand and start walking with him and see where it takes you. And it will take you out of darkness. The Bible says he called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. But it's in following him that we leave the darkness and we go into the light. That's why he says, he who follows me, can I say walks with me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 1:7 says it this way, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So what do we see the work that happens in this verse? Well, one, we see that walking with God brings community with other people. That's something I'd like in my life. I'd like to have better friendships. I'd like to have less disagreements. I'd like to find more compassion in the world today. Well, it's not working when I do it myself, but if I walk with God, it will bring community. It's saying we have fellowship with one another. It will bring community with other people. It brings partnerships and community with my friends and neighbors. Walking reduces and removes our petty disagreements and quibbles. When we are focused on our relationship with him and knowing him, the things of this world become so much less important. being right becomes less important. Being popular becomes less important. And being the best and the most known becomes less important. Because for me, it's about walking with God. And when I am walking with God and being right and popular and the best is less important, then really, I am building community. Because Jesus always took the high road or the low road, however you want to call it. He always deferred. He always showed compassion. He always gave forgiveness. Even on the cross, his last words, "Father, forgive them." These horribly evil people that killed him in a crazy, horrible, nasty way. He's like, "Forgive them." Walking with Jesus brings community with others. The second part of this verse is we see that walking cleanses us. Walking with Jesus removes and scrubs away the sin from our lives. It restores us. And can I say that it is ongoing? Which means just because you're walking with God doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning. There's going to be a mistake. You're going to let go for a minute and go to that candy store. You're going to make a bad decision, have a wrong thought, make a bad action. But God, who is rich in his love, will forgive us if we will confess our sins. We may leave that walking relationship, but he's still standing there. "Peter, I'm still here. I haven't walked forward. I'm still waiting." Just because you walked away, you can come right back. It's ongoing. And it removes the sin from our lives. So in 1 John 1:7, we see that walking with him brings community with others, and it also removes the sins in our lives. Galatians 5:16. This is such a great verse. I found some great verses that really talk about the work that happens in the walking. But there's so many in the Bible that just this idea of walking with God, walking with Jesus. But I love this verse. I probably bring this verse up too many times as I'm preaching. Galatians 5, we're going to start at verse 16. Paul is saying to the church in Galatia, he says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit," verse 18, "you are not under the law." He's saying, walk in the Spirit. Because when you're not walking with the Spirit, you might say you want to do good things, but you don't end up doing them. You might say you want to avoid pitfalls and making bad decisions and getting caught up in temptations and anger and all this, but you're not going to avoid it. You won't be able to do the things you want, but if you walk in the Spirit, there's something that happens. Before we continue on in Galatians, John 14:16, Jesus is saying, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, his followers, and he's saying, like, "I'm with you right now. I'm not always going to be with you, but my Father's going to send. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." He said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus is saying, "My physical body will not be here, disciples, to walk with you like I did the last three or so years. I won't be here for you to walk with, but guess what? The person that's with you, that spirit of that person will be in you in the future." That's what it's talking about when it says walk in the Spirit, because Jesus is saying, "Hey, I want to walk with you," but now they're taking it a little bit different. This idea of walking is God saying, "I want to live inside you," and it's the same idea. I'm walking alongside you, but I'm a spirit. God is a spirit. He is saying he is with them, and they are walking with him, but his spirit will be in them. And so when he says walk in the Spirit, he's talking about being led of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit keeps us from being led of our flesh. Walking in the Spirit keeps us being led of our flesh. Walking with Jesus, walking with God, doing the things that he has done, that continual relationship, that obedience, that accountability, everything we talked about, keeps us from our own choices destroying us. When we choose the route and way to walk, when we choose the route and way to walk, the works of that walk are this. Our title this morning is The Work in Walking. Well, guess, let me tell you something. There's work that happens in your life when you choose the path. And there's work that happens in your life when God chooses the path. When you are following Him, the work that happens in your life is a little bit different. Is a lot different than the work that happens when you make the choices. When we choose the route and way to walk, the works of that walk are described in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, the works of our way, are evident. They're really clear. They are adultery. He's saying, when you choose your way, you'll end up in one of these places, maybe all, but you'll end up at least one of these. The works of choosing our path ends in adultery. It ends in fornication. It ends in uncleanness. It ends in lewdness. It ends in idolatry. It ends in sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. It ends in outbursts of wrath. I love we start reading that. We're like, adultery, fornications. Yeah, okay, lewdness. I'm clean. Hatred, contentions, jealousies. Sounds like the tagline for Facebook. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. It keeps going. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's interesting, though, is I don't think we intend to start out with lewdness. I don't think we intend to start out with hatred or contentions. I don't think we intend to start out with outbursts of wrath to our spouse or our children or the people we work with. We don't start there, but it's in choosing our path and walking our way and leaving God that we end up in those places, because those are the works that happen to us. Those are the things that are present in our lives when we make our own choices. Following our own path, our own way, leads to these things. But that's just part of free choice and free will. I think it's the second law of thermodynamics states that we naturally, everything left to itself, will tend to disorder and chaos. That's just the way it is. You leave your car out for the next 6 months over the Wisconsin winter and don't touch it and don't run it and don't do anything. You think it's going to run better or worse than when you started it? It's just life. You leave your body and you don't do anything to it. You don't feed it. You don't sleep. You don't nothing. What's going to happen? Disorder and chaos. You take your relationships that you're in and you don't spend any time on them. What's going to happen? Disorder and chaos. You choose your way of doing things and it will lead to disorder and chaos. The works of the flesh, the works of my way of doing things lead to death. Now remember, he started all this, say, walk in the Spirit. And in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Can I add and just say, but the fruit of walking in the Spirit, because that's what he was talking about in that first verse. The fruit of walking with the in the Spirit, the thing that you start to see in your life, the work that happens in your life is this. The fruit of getting to know God is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You can have as much as you want. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I think it's important for us to realize that God provides the fruit of this verse. God provides the fruit in our lives. It is in walking with Him that our character is changed. Peter, I want to change. I don't want to be so angry. I want to see more love in my life. I want to see more compassion. I need to be more patient. Walk with God. You know, sometimes my choices lead me, walk with God. Walking with Him brings change for the better. Because we know Him, we are changed for the better. Not because we think or we try really hard, but because we are walking with Him on a daily basis, because it's a continual relationship, this idea of fellowship and knowing Him and building that relationship, walking with Him changes me. Grabbing His hand doesn't change me. Coming to church doesn't change me. It's this daily lifestyle of obedience and saying, you know what, I just need to get to know God a little bit more today. And the last verse I have is Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works,
which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God is saying, man, Peter, man, so-and-so, every single person out here, he's speaking to you. And he's saying, not only do I want to do a good work in your life, if you'll walk with me, I've got good works that you're going to do in other people's lives. It is in walking with him that he works through us for others. Today is the perfect day to start walking with God. Today is the perfect day to restart walking with God. Today is the perfect day to prioritize walking with God. And I hope that we can see this comic and laugh a little bit, but we can also see and say, you know what? Sometimes I do this with my walk with God. I think there's all these steps and all this. And God just said, can you just walk with me, Peter? But what if I don't do this? What if I don't look the part? What if I don't act the part? Just walk with me. I'll change your heart. And maybe we could do a little less looking around at our friends and family and saying, ooh, are they walking? Does she look like she's walking? Maybe we could do a little bit more just saying, my job is to walk with God, to get my wife and for us to walk with God, to get my family and for us to walk with God. And I'm just going to trust that God is going to do a work in my life in the walking. I hope this morning that we're simplifying things. Let's walk with God. Let's try to know him a little bit more every day. Maybe that's, hey, I'm going to pick up the Bible and try to read a little bit more of his word. Maybe it's, you know, I'm going to make church a priority and hear from God. Maybe it's, hey, you know what? I'm going to take 2, 5, 10, 60 minutes, I don't know, and say, you know, I'm going to spend some time with everything aside and my phone on do not disturb. And I'm just going to try to talk to God and listen to God. And you might say, Peter, I don't know how to do that. I've never talked with God before. I had never talked with my wife before the first day I met her. And I probably said some stupid things that first day. And I said a lot of stupid things since that first day. And somehow, I love her more now than I ever did. Because we have built a relationship in the walking. And so I want you to feel this. Maybe the pressure is lifted off. And it's just like, my goal is to walk with God. And today I might have done a great walking. Today I might have left my underwear on the floor and not in the hamper. God still loved me. He's still with me. If some of your habits or lifestyle choices need to be left behind, leave them and keep walking. If everything around you is on fire, keep walking. If it doesn't always make sense, keep walking. If you can't answer every question, keep walking. If the last step was weird and awkward and uncomfortable, keep walking. If it feels like you're moving too slow, keep walking. If you stumble or fall along the way, get back up and keep walking. If the path feels lonely and you wonder if anyone else is on it, just keep walking. If the road ahead looks uncertain and long, keep walking. If yesterday's failures still echo in your mind, keep walking. And if everyone else appears to be doing something different, whether it's better or worse than you, just keep walking, because God is just requiring us to walk with him. I just want to walk with you, Peter, like I did with Abraham, like I did with Enoch, like I did with Noah. I just want to walk with you. And if you have tried your way, your path, and it keeps leading you to the same disappointments, if the work that you're seeing in your life is not the work you want because it's you're choosing your path, then I want to encourage us today to start walking with God. Let's all stand this morning.